Genesis 3:10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. As it was the utmost folly that Adam fled from God, so in the utmost folly he answers him, so utterly deprived by sin is he of all wisdom and counsel. He now really wishes to teach God that he is naked, who had himself created him naked. Thus does he wholly confound himself and betray and condemn himself out of his mouth. He confesses that he heard the voice of Jehovah and was afraid. And had he not also heard the voice of Jehovah before, when Jehovah forbade him to eat the fruit of that tree? Why did he not then fear also? Why did he not then also hide himself? How was it that then he stood with uplifted countenance and with joy before him, rejoicing in his presence and delighting to hear him speak? Now he trembles at the sound of a shaking leaf. It is at least evident that he is no longer the same Adam he then was. He is totally changed and become quite another man. He now looks about for a lie and a false cause for his defense. For how can it be true that the voice of Jehovah is the real cause of his fear, when before he feared not that divine voice, but heard it as the voice of his God with happiness and joy? Learn, then, from this solemn history that perverseness and folly ever accompany sin, that transgressors, by all their excuses, only accuse themselves, and that the more they defend, the more they betray themselves, especially before God. Thus Adam here attempts to conceal his sin and to adorn himself as innocent, in that he alleges, as the cause of his fleeing, not his having sinned, but his having heard the voice of the Lord. And he makes that to be the cause of his alarm and of his being ashamed because he was naked. Poor, wretched man! He never thinks that he had no such fear as this when he heard the same voice of God at first. He never recollects that he was not then ashamed because he was naked. For as that nakedness was the creation of God, why should he, the creature, be ashamed of that which God had made? He then walked in all his nakedness in the sight of God and of the whole creation in paradise, perfectly secure and happy that such was the will of God, and delighting in God on that very account. But now he is covered with shame because he is naked and flees from God and hides from him on that account. Every one of these things is an argument by which Adam condemns himself and betrays his present state of sin. And just in the same manner will the wicked condemn themselves in the final judgment, when all the darkness shall be driven away from the hearts of men, and the sins of all men shall be read in the book when opened. God knew perfectly well that Adam had sinned and was guilty of death. Yet he calls him that he might be condemned by the testimony of his own mouth as having sinned. For he flees from God when he calls him, which fact was itself the very essence of sin, even as it is the very essence of righteousness to flee unto God as a refuge. This fleeing from God, therefore, is the strongest possible testimony of Adam against himself. Yet even still he vainly hopes that his sin can be covered by a lie, for he alleges as the real causes of his flight the voice of God and his own nakedness. From this we learn, therefore, that such is the nature of sin, that unless God brings the medicine immediately after it is committed and call back the sinner to himself, he will flee from his God farther and farther. And by mendaciously excusing his sin, he will add sin to sin until he runs at length into blasphemy and despair. Thus sin draws after it, by its own weight, as it were, sin upon sin, and causes eternal ruin, until the sinner, finally, will rather accuse God himself than acknowledge his own sin. Adam ought to have said, Lord, I have sinned. But this Adam does not. He rather actually accuses God of sin, and in reality he says, Thou, Lord, hast sinned. For I should have remained holy in paradise after my eating the fruit, if thou hadst remained perfectly quiet. For the words of Adam bear all this import in truth when he says in substance, I should not have fled if thy voice had not terrified me from thy presence. Thus man, when accused of sin by his God, instead of acknowledging his sin, rather accuses God as being the cause of it, and transfers his sin from himself and lays the blame of it on his Creator. Hence sin increases to infinity, unless God, by his mercy, come to succor the sinner. And yet Adam, all the while, considers this excusing himself and blaming his Creator the highest wisdom. For he is so confounded by the terror of his conscience that he knows not what he says nor what he does, although by thus excusing himself, he only accuses himself the more grievously and increases his sin to the utmost extent. Let us, however, by no means think that all this happened to Adam only. Every one of us does the very same thing, nor will nature of herself ever permit us to do otherwise. For after having sinned, we all rather accuse God than acknowledge our sin before him, just as Adam here did, who asserted that the voice of God was the cause of his fleeing from him, thus actually making God himself to be the cause of his flight. And next, upon the back of this sin, quickly follows another and further sin. For he that spares not his Creator himself, how shall he be likely to spare the creature? Therefore, Adam next charges God with his nakedness, thus making him the creator of a thing that was vile and base. For by his sin, Adam is so deprived of his senses that he turns the glory of his nakedness into a reproach to his Creator.